This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. A bit of a unique interview this time around because while he's a member of Congress until the new Congress takes session on the 3rd of January, it's our wrap-up interview with Congressman Peter DeFazio. Congressman, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. I've always enjoyed being on the show with you.
Well, it's interesting because we've been talking for about 15 years, and obviously your time in Congress has been a busy one, so we want to kind of go through a number of aspects to it. But let's back up to the front end, and I'm curious about maybe about your upbringing or what led you to get involved in the political arena to begin with.
I was never been involved in politics, never even in student government, and I was running a senior citizen program called the Senior Companion Program, and I had people come in to train my senior companions, and one day one of those people came in, and she said, I just applied for this job in this guy Carson Weaver's office. He wants a senior advocate. She said, I think you'd be better at that than me. So I, clipped out the newspaper ad, and those were the very old days, and went down there and said, hey, and then I applied and ultimately got the job and started working senior issues for Jim Weaver. And after a couple of years, I figured out that a lot of the problems stemmed, especially with Social Security disability, with the policies and the laws. And so then I asked to go back in Washington and work in his Washington office doing legislative work, and did that for a couple of years. Really hated Washington, D.C. My wife didn't like it either, so we said, well, I want to move back to Oregon, and I came back here and was running the casework in his district office, and I got involved in with a friend of mine who was on the Springfield Utility Board in the Washington Public Power System nuclear plant fiasco. Springfield was on the hook for like $100 million and sued and ultimately killed the project. And that kind of launched me into politics when Jim Weaver, after I left his office, ran for county commission. And then when he retired, I ran for Congress.
Talk about that experience of being a Lane County commissioner. What was that like?
Well, it's great to be a commissioner. You only need, it's five member commission up here, and you only need three votes to get things done. It's a lot easier than getting 218 in the House of Representatives, and you didn't have to deal with the United States Senate. So we were able to implement things, get things done, and and it also impressed upon me, we had a huge public works department. Lane County is the size of the state of Connecticut. And when I got to Congress, I said, well, I want to be on the public works committee because, infrastructure, public works is so critical to everyday life of every American and the economy. And then I also wanted to be on the resources committee because more than half my district's owned by the federal government, so I could have some impact on that. And that's what I did for 36 years while I was on resources until I became senior on transportation, and then I had to give that up.
So the word infrastructure was a big piece of your vocabulary even back then at the front end.
Yeah, we called it more public works back then than we did infrastructure, but over the years that people have, because infrastructure is a little broader term, and I don't know, anyway, whatever nomenclature.
But it's just it's been a definite emphasis throughout your career of the importance of these different levels of infrastructure and helping cities and counties and the country to continue and improve.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, I've brought a lot of projects into Southwest Oregon, into Oregon, done a lot of national work, obviously, over the years, but especially as chairman over the last 4 years where we passed the largest infrastructure bill ever, twice out of the House. You know, we have 42,000 bridges, national highway system, need repair replacement, 40% of the national highway system degraded to the point where you have to rebed it, not just resurface it. And we have in our larger cities and elsewhere, $100 billion backlog on transit to bring it up to state of good repair, rail. And I passed that bill out of the House twice. The Senate couldn't even move it out of committee. So Biden had to negotiate with 10 Republican senators and Sinema and Manchin. And I ended up with pretty much the numbers I wanted, not the policy I wanted. But it's a huge, going to be huge for America. A lot of jobs. And also going to be tremendous improvements to our infrastructure, roads, bridges, highways, transit, airports, wastewater, drinking water, rural broadband. All those things are part of the major infrastructure package.
I want to talk some more about projects in a bit, but I'm curious, after you were first elected, you went a very long time, in fact, till really about 2010, without a strong opponent or a tough race. What do you attribute that to?
Well, I worked the district really hard. I used to do 20 or 25 town hall a year, traveling to every part of the district. I had tremendous, great casework staff, and we helped, you know, tens of thousands of people over the years with veterans problems, Social Security disability, Small Business Administration, a whole host of federal issues. And I mean, there's a lot of time that, you know, people say to me, well, you know, you're the only person who ever responded and helped my mom or helped my grandpa or helped me. And, you know, that gave me some goodwill, even with people who didn't agree with me on a lot of politics.
Now, I imagine that every year in Congress is different. Is there a favorite year or favorite time frame that you look back at where you feel like you accomplished the most or your issues gained the furthest traction?
Well, oddly enough, I got two major long-term bills done while Trump was still president. He signed them, but we controlled the House those last 2 years. And one was to free up the Harbor Maintenance Trust Fund, $10 billion sitting in the Treasury, taxes paid by Americans to repair our jetties, dredge our harbors, that wasn't being spent because of the stupidity of the way they do so-called budgeting back there. And it made the deficit look a little smaller by just having that money sit in the bank. That took me 25 years to get that done. I started with a guy named Bud Schuster in 1996 and finally got it done in the last year of the Trump presidency. I also took away antitrust immunity from the health insurance industry. That was something I worked on also for over 20 years. So actually, the Congress before this one was pretty darn productive for me. And then this one I passed, you know, as we already talked about, the largest needed infrastructure investment ever in the history of the United States of America, passed a very large water resources development bill, which will benefit the coastal harbors and benefit also some cities that are limited on wastewater or have problems with drinking water, places where levees need to be repaired. All that's in my last water resources development bill. And then just today, the Senate unveiled their omnibus for all the appropriations for the year. And I've got one last big project for Douglas County in there, $2,095,000 for the ADAPT program for their regional Oregon Regional Recovery Center. They do fabulous work, and I'm recognizing that work by helping them improve their facilities and get modern equipment and be able to help more people.
Wow, that will be a big project for the area, and certainly coming through the pandemic, the whole area of mental health and a lot of related concerns have really come into more of the forefront.
Right. And, you know, ADAPT is not only doing Douglas County now, they've become a regional center. And I just think they do fabulous work. And was lucky enough to be able to get them some needed funds in this last piece of legislation that should pass the Senate today and the House tomorrow night, hopefully, and get signed by the president.
What about maybe the toughest time or toughest era in Congress where you maybe looked around and even considered just hanging it up?
Well, the Gingrich era was pretty grim when he took over the contract on America. And, you know, it was pretty discouraging. But, you know, my committee, the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, is probably the least partisan committee in an incredibly partisan place. And I was still able to get things done through that committee. That was a long time. I spent half my career in the minority in Congress, 18 of my 36 years I've been in the minority. But luckily, being on the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, I was still able to get a lot of things done. And then obviously these last 4 years as chairman, even bigger things. So there have been times where, it was pretty discouraging, but then something would get done. I would say, wow, I mean, if you've ever studied psychology, it's called intermittent reinforcement. It's very addictive. For instance, in 2005, in the safety Lou bill, I got over $400 million for Oregon for the big problem we were having with our failing bridges on I-5. It was the fifth largest allocation in the House. And then over the years, I've done lots of things, got the instrument landing system at the Roseburg Airport, the Weaver overpass over I-5 to open up that area. I mean, I've concentrated a lot on trying to bring needed investments to Southwest Oregon and been pretty darn successful at it. So, every once in a while, I'd get down and then say, wow, I just got that done, or like this today. I mean, going out the door, $2 million for ADAPT, and then I'm getting the Eugene YMCA $2 million for a childcare facility. Coos County project down there. A bunch of things scattered around the district. I mean, Roseburg and a lot of Douglas County won't be in the 4th district anymore with the new representative Val Hoyle. Some of Douglas is over more in the western part. A lot of your listeners will now be in the Eastern Oregon District with Cliff Bentz as the representative.
Talk about any strong alliances you've forged over your career across the aisle where you really were able to get a lot done with a member of the GOP.
Well, Senator Hatfield was just an incredible individual, and I did a lot. With Senator Hatfield, we did the largest expansion of wild and scenic rivers in the lower 48 here in Oregon. Worked with Senator Packwood to ban the export of logs off of federal lands so that our federal lands didn't become a tree farm for Japan and China. I worked with Greg Walden on a lot of issues. We passed a bill out of the House, unfortunately got killed in the Senate. To restore what we saw was a reasonable level of harvest on our BLM lands, but it got torpedoed by the United States Senate. And then Greg and I worked on other issues together, the Steens Mountain Reserve and Bob Smith. I worked with when he represented Southern Oregon and over the years in Eastern Oregon. So the delegation has worked pretty darn well together over the years across the aisle.
Has the tenure of Congress changed since you got there, and has it been for the positive or the negative?
Oh, no. It's changed phenomenally, and it's incredibly negative. There used to be 80 or 90 Democrats and Republicans sort of in the middle who could work back with either side, work with the Republican side or the Democratic side to get things done. Those would be people, representing, swing districts, old-fashioned liberal Republican, Blue Dog Democrats. A lot of the Blue Dog Democrats got wiped out in 10. and gradually they've eliminated all of the liberal moderate Republicans from the party. And after this election, those lines really won't intersect anymore. With the Radical Freedom Caucus and their agenda, it's become bitterly partisan, and it's not good for the country. Part of it is due to gerrymandering. A lot of people only have to worry about their primary, and they don't have to, and they wouldn't. In fact, they consider it traitorous to work across the aisle, and that's the extremes on both sides. Extreme to the left and Democratic Party, and extremes to the right, the Republican Party. Although the group in the Republican Party is much larger, the Freedom Caucus, than the ultra lefties in the House. So there are ongoing needs for efficient and effective government at all levels, and it works best when people work across party lines.
A lot of people choose to retire around age 65. Why did you want to stick around longer?
Well, I still had things to get done. I mean, I was gaining in seniority. Seniority in the House brings a lot with it. And I had these major objectives. I started under the Obama administration trying to get a very large infrastructure bill passed. He killed it because he was afraid of an increase in the gas tax, which hasn't been raised since 1993. And then, of course, Trump promised trillions and did nothing on infrastructure. And then, so I hung around until I finally got it done.
What about favorite people in the district that you've gotten to know during your time in office?
Oh, well, I've had absolutely fabulous staff. I enjoy people. And, I spend a lot of time at Rotaries and Chambers of Commerce and, town hall meetings. And I've met, lots and lots of fabulous people, some of whom I've worked together with on issues over the years. So it's been an honor and great.
What led to your decision to exit after this year?
Well, we passed the infrastructure bill, and I really, that was my last major objective. I said there are really two conditions, or three, for me to retire. Get infrastructure done. Check. Had that done. My district needed to get better. Thanks to the state legislature, it did. I went from a Republican plus two district to a Democrat plus four district. Three, a person who could do the job and could get elected and would take a balanced approach. And when Val Hoyle volunteered, I said, that's it. That's the person who can replace me, represent this district well, great experience, former majority leader in the State House, labor commissioner, known her for more than two decades, and it was a good time to go.
What are the things you'll miss most about not being in Congress after the next few days?
Well, I'll miss my staff, for sure. They've been fabulous, as I said, both my district staff, my Washington staff, and then I have a very, very large committee staff. They're all incredibly accomplished, wonderful people. I'll miss them. I will miss some of the access and dealing with problems. I can pick up the phone and get most anybody on the phone. Years ago, I was upset because Congress was not following its constitutional duty when it came to war powers. I mean, the president cannot declare war. That's up to Congress. And Congress should approve the insertion of our troops, young men and women, into hostilities. But Congress has ducked and presidents have usurped. And I wanted to fix what's called the War Powers Act. And I'm like, well, how do I do this? And there's a very famous constitutional law professor at Harvard named Lawrence Tribe. And so I called Lawrence Tribe and he picked up the phone and he helped me write the bill. Never got it done, but it's out there and hopefully it will get done someday. So the access that you get to some of the best minds in the country and the capability of saying, wow, there's a problem. I'm going to take that on. But I'm going to let them, I'm going to be passing that on to the next generation. And I'll be calling my congresswoman and saying, hey, why don't you do something about this?
What are the things you miss least?
Air travel, for sure. I figured it out. It takes me basically door-to-door, 22 hours round trip to Springfield, to D.C. and back, because there's no direct flights. And I either have to drive to Portland, fly to Seattle, fly to Salt Lake or Denver. And anyway, I won't miss that. I spent 435 40-hour work weeks commuting to D.C. I figured that out after I retired. Never wanted to figure it out. And I certainly will not miss fundraising. I hate fundraising, I will not miss that.
What are your plans for retirement?
Well, I used to have a drift boat. It died of dry rot while I was in Congress. I'm looking around at drift boats, and I'm going to learn how to fly fish again. I used to fly fish, and now I'm kind of fallen into disrepair. You lose, you just don't have much discretionary time in Congress. So I'm going to have more time in Oregon, more time doing things I want to do, and for the first time in 36 years, be on my own schedule.
Congressman Peter DeFazio, final interview with Congressman. Thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Kyle. Always appreciated being on the show.
1258 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.